FM。
8:35, you're listening to 100.5 FM. John says, boy, you don't like Roy Cooper, do you? No, I do not like Roy Cooper. I have friends who live down there. I played high school baseball with. I've spent a lot of time down there. My brother Jim and I, my mom and dad, a lot of time down in Asheville. No, I do not like Roy Cooper. I think he's a jerk, just like I think most people in government are. I like candidates. That's why Thad Moody's here. But I don't like elected people. I just don't. I can't stand them. Just can't stand them. David Jones is here. Matt Jacobson, D.D. Richardson, and Thad Moody, who's running for the Maine House out of Gorham. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, absolutely. So how are you?
Doing well, Ray. Very well. No, I'm enjoying putting out my signs and meeting Gorham folks, and some of them I haven't seen in 10, 20, 30 years. So.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? We were out with our grandson Charlie 2 weekends ago, and we were riding out around Randall Orchard and back toward this way, and just taking all the back roads because it's so pretty, you know, this time of year. And there were Thad Moody signs on lawns everywhere.
On lawns.
Yeah, on lawns.
That means something.
Thank you, because that is important to me. You know, we can put them on intersections, everything else, and I choose not to as of right now, so we will concentrate on lawns.
That's good. We've been putting Trump signs up, vote Trump today, and as fast as we put them up, they're stealing them. We've had, you know, 100 plus signs stolen, like in a week.
Yeah, crazy.
They're just walking around systematically stealing signs and then replacing them with Harris signs.
Yeah, which is crazy. Dad, let me ask you, you are semi-retired from Moody's Collision. You used to be the president of the organization, but you still work a little bit there. Why in the world do you want to come out of semi-retirement and run for the Maine House? Why in the world would you do that?
It's kind of deja vu.
All over
Ray.
Again?
1988, you know, in Gorham, I was working at Cook's Hardware. So I've been very fortunate in my years of work. I worked 25 years at a family-owned company, Cook's Hardware, and I've worked 29 years, family-owned company, you know, with Sean. So back in 88, I had kids in school, and I just basically thought, how in the world are we going to be able to afford to live here for the rest of our lives? So I ran for town council, got elected, served 6 terms, and your previous speaker, and you had just talked about it, Ray, the last year that I was chairperson of the town council, we had a budget recall, and it was to do with the school department's budget, and it divided the town. And I remember the town meeting that we had, and one of the things that you said that we made sure we did is going forward, we had the superintendent of schools, the school committee chairperson, the town manager, and the town council chairperson meet. So there was no surprises.
Right.
So you aired your differences at the table, and then collectively you hopefully came out of the meet and say, this is what we're going to support. So it was a hard lesson to learn. And I see communities going through it now. Gorham just had their own school budget recall. And now we got a referendum question for multi-millions more dollars for in additions. So I don't think there's a lot of communication. Hmm. And that's a shame. Collaboration, I think you used.
Yes, absolutely. So, regional schools, I'm all for it. Right. Yeah, it just you have to. I mean, it's inevitable. I mean, the amount of money that each one of these individual schools cost the taxpayer is just and it's ridiculous. And then you look at it, what are we gaining? What are we gaining? You know, we're not gaining anything. We're looking at where Maine's 50th in the country.
Yeah.
U.S. News and Report.
We've thrown money at it, and we've dropped, you know, dramatically, and we are now 50th and dead last, according to U.S. News and World Report, on our school systems. Yep. And that's a really, if we believe in public education, and I do, I think public education is a great economic equalizer. we need better outcomes here. And so
that's it.
I know you've been able to live your life on your terms,
yep,
which is what we would hope for every person that resides on our soil here in this great country. And I just when Sean told me, Shawnee, as we call him around here, when Shawnee told me that that you were going to run, I'm like, why in the world would he come out of retirement? You know, you've lived a good life. You've worked hard. You've been a great contributor to the community. One of my favorite pictures of you is when we had the Lobster Festival and the Lobster Eating Contest. And there's a really wonderful photo of you in the crowd cheering on your brother as Sean was trying to eat as many lobsters as he could.
We had fun at that event.
I think he only ate five, but, you know, at
I
least
believe
it was
the first time
enough.
I met you.
Yeah, might have been.
You were the MC at,
yeah,
the, at that
yeah,
event.
David and I put on that event, yeah.
Yep. Yep. I think you said it was 12 years ago.
Yeah,
so time
2012.
Fly, so.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But to your point, Ray, this is the reason. Again, I think we're five generations in Gorham, might even be longer than that. So my wife and I certainly want to live out our lives in Gorham. I have two daughters that live in Gorham, and I have a son that lives in Cleveland. So they all have kids. So, again, we're hoping that they can live their lives in Gorham.
The way they want.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The way they want.
So
the way it should be.
What do you hope to do, Thad? You know, you go up to Augusta. It's, I mean, you know, it's a crazy place. Your brother wanted to be governor. In fact, boy, if he was governor, what a better place this would be. But I digress. That was 6 years ago.
100%.
But what a better place this would be. It's just unbelievable. So much of the craziness. But the Capitol is crazy. I mean, I try not to go there. I went once last year, and that was the first time I'd been there in a while. You're going to go up there in that environment, even if you get the majority. What do you hope to accomplish?
I think, again, bringing transparency. I think whether I get elected or not, Ray, I'm still going to make those journeys. I think we have to speak out, you know, speaking out amongst ourselves, complaining, this and that, it's not doing us any good. So I think I'll just use Bill Diamond for an example, right? How many 32 years he gave serving the state of Maine, and he had to go pretty much independently to uncover what was happening at DHHS and the Oversight Committee, whatever that is.
Right.
So I think that's what I'm going to do. I hope I get elected, because I really feel that I can
do a good job.
Influence change. And I just look at what they go through, and I just did a couple reports, but there was like 2,500 bills, and they only completed 900. And it seems like every year the huge amount of new bills. So what are those bills? Are they special interest? Are they what are they?
Well, that's what they are. Every 2 years there's on average about 2,150 bills. 2,150 new laws that are being proposed for the people of the state of Maine. Now, there's only 1.4 million of us, and, you know, it's just hard for me to, but you're absolutely right, and sometimes there's 700 of them that get passed, sometimes there's 900, you're absolutely right about that, but they're always proposing new taxes, new restrictions, new regulations. The people that we have elected to be our voice don't believe in us. I say this all the time, they don't trust us anymore. Why would they want to make so many rules and regulations to regulate our behavior if they trusted us?
Yeah, and that's the main reason why I'm running, exactly. Because I just see too many rules and regulations. And I'll just use a couple for example, right? They said a couple, 3 years ago that they were going to shove EVs down our throat. 2035, that was going to be it.
Yeah,
you couldn't buy a gasoline-powered vehicle. So government, again, supposed to be speaking for us. Well, guess what? The consumer, who is us, says, no, thank you.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, Ford shuts down one of their EV plants because consumers across the nation said, no.
Well, they
lost
$4.5 billion on that division in 1 year. Ford did. Because the marketplace doesn't want it.
So that's the testament is, if they listened to us, then they wouldn't enact these pie-in-the-sky type of visions of... That's not reality.
Ideologues.
We're a constitutional republic. We're a representative republic. We don't actually transact the business ourselves. We elect people to be our voice and transact the business. Thad, why do you think they're so far off the mark in terms of being the voice of the people, being the voice of Gorham? I mean, Mo Terry was from Gorham, the House Majority Leader. I know Mo. Mo used to work at the Pinecrest Inn with Mattingly. And I never knew that she was a radical. She gets up to Augusta, and she's an absolute radical on everything, even threatening to change the way we split electoral votes if Nebraska had gone through with theirs. What do you think it is that happens to people who are seemingly very nice people? We have some in my hometown of Westbrook. Very nice people. Like them a lot. Small business owners. Mm-hmm. They go to Augusta and they become the most rabid, partisan, whack jobs politically. Yep. What do you think happens?
I think in those particular instances, I think it's they want to change. And not, I meant change. And to me, that's not what we're all about. I don't believe they listen to the constituents. So when they get up there, again, they're influenced by the governor. They're influenced by other folks. And
they sell out.
Whatever it is.
Sell out.
And I think with that is, because I started doing this like 2.5 years ago, and I started reaching out to Mo Terry, Stacey Brenner, and Jim Boyle. Trying to get an answer for them was almost impossible.
Right.
But they were short on time. They have other things to do. But the long and short of it was, the last comment always was, well, Thad, I'd love to have a cup of coffee with you. And I'm thinking, okay, so now you're going to take 2 hours out of our day to have a cup of coffee, travel wherever, when in 2 minutes you could answer my question with an email.
Hmm. They won't put it in writing.
Exactly. Now, the other part I got out of that was, and again, it was Jim Boyle said that I'm not in his district, he 109, should, next door in Gorham, so I'd be better off talking with Mo Terry. So I just think that the disconnect, Ray, no collaboration, is getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to understand that the founders of our nation set up this amazing constitution that we have. And then if you read the main constitution, which I've read, I don't even know how many times, I've read it so many times. The main constitution was constructed along the same concepts of the United States Constitution. It is a document of freedom, and it's a document that limits the power of government, which is what it's supposed to do in a land like ours. If we were in Russia, it would be different. Mm-hmm. And for some reason or another, these folks, when they get elected, they change. They go from people who believe in self-determination and abject freedom to being people who want to control the lives of those they represent. And I mean, I know you won't. You're a Moody, for God's sakes. And you have a long history. Shawnee has a long history. The whole family does, of being people who self-determine. So I know you're not going to change. But Mo Terry's a good example. I mean, I would never have imagined in a billion years, if God gave me that much time, that she would be the person in Augusta that she was. Never.
I look at it too, Ray, as I'm certain we've all served on board of directors. Okay, well, when you ask to serve on a board or you throw your name in the hat, nobody asks you if you're Republican or Democrat. The purpose is, will you help serve us to grow this company?
Right.
That's what your main reason's there for. And that usually means thinking of the company, thinking of the coworkers, everything. And better when you have your discussion, the discussion's at a table, just like the government's supposed to react. It doesn't matter if you have your Democratic hat on today or Republican hat on. It doesn't matter. That's where we lost sight. They go up there, and all of a sudden, it's D, Democrat. And how many votes are on party lines? I don't understand how that can happen when you get hundreds of people to vote on something, and when you look at it, there's not one D that voted against the other Ds. It's like, how can that happen?
A great example, Drew Cuttine, who's a state rep from Westbrook, the other side of Westbrook, and he wrote an op-ed recently chastising Republicans because they did not support the budget that was just passed. And within hours, Kristen Figueroa of the Department of Administrative and Financial Services came out and said the budget has a shortfall of $949 million. It's like there's a psychological and mental disconnect with reality when they get up under the dome. I don't know if there's oxygen deprivation. I don't know what it is.
They let
but
gas loose
Drew
in the
Cuttine,
chambers.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I know him personally. He's a good man outside of politics. But here he is chastising people for being fiscally irresponsible. At the same time, the governor's head of accounting comes out and says we got a $949 million deficit. There's a disconnect here for some reason.
Yep. Well, Ray, you mentioned the other day that you might think of running for governor in the next...
Boy, wasn't that a mistake to mention that on TV.
And I'm not
good
sure where
Lord.
I heard you.
No, but it was on TV. So.
But I think it would be a good thing that definitely could happen to the state. And what you just said, too, about unknowing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe when Mark Dion became mayor of Portland, didn't he, the day after he got elected, found out that they had a $94 million deficit?
Yeah.
And he basically asked the taxpayers, what are we going to do?
Right. I mean, and so why wasn't that known? But again, it's like the people that we have representing us go up there to lie to us and to hide stuff from us.
Yep.
We should know
doing.
These
That's
things.
That's what they do. They hide it.
You know, in 2002, when Peter Cincat and John Baldacci were running for governor, the state announced they had a $1.1 billion structural shortfall under Angus King. Now, this had nothing to do with Angus King, but Dee Dee and I and a few other people organized the billion-dollar march on Augusta. We wanted the legislature, who was seeking re-election, to explain to the people of Maine how they were going to solve the problem. And they could have cared less. We had about 3,000 people go to the Capitol. We did it on a Saturday morning so the people could be there because they work. You know, one of the things I'd love to see you change if you go up there, and I know you got to get some seniority, but one of the things they do is it makes sense that when you go to committee to hear a bill, that the person that sponsored the bill and maybe a co-sponsor speaks on behalf of it. But then they let all the legislators who want to come in and have their say come in and speak. And then eventually they get around to the people. The legislators sought the office and they're paid to be there. The people come there often giving up a day's pay because the capital is inconvenient to go to. I would love to see that change. That's a crazy system to me that once again says legislators are more important
first.
Than the people. The people are what matter here. That's why our national constitution starts off with we the people. It doesn't start off with we the government or we the various states. It's we the people because the people are sovereign here.
And right, that only makes sense what you just said, because we all know how much influence can take place before you talk to those you probably should.
Right.
And I think businesses that fail are doing the same thing. They go to their board of directors, they go to their administration, they go to their leaders, and then all of a sudden they forget who's in the trenches. And then when the decision basically is already made, they go to the trenches and say, this is what we're going to do.
They're
you
dictating.
Didn't ask us.
Yeah.
So...
Well, and that's, I mean, you've got, you and Shawnee have that demonstrated history with your coworkers there at Moody's. You all were in the trenches with those people. You understood, Sean, I never will forget Sean talking about that back in the day before you had coworkers, mm-hmm. you know, co-owners, if you will. You know, sometimes he'd see a roll of tape and, you know, from out of body work and there'd be a quarter of the tape left and it's thrown in the trash. Now there is no tape on the roll. Because these folks are all co-owners of the business. You've empowered them. Isn't that what we should be doing with government, is empowering people, largely by getting the hell out of the way, but there are other ways to empower people. Isn't that what we should be doing, taking the model that you've used at Moody's, bringing it to Augusta, and empowering our citizens?
Absolutely. And I think, again, that Bill Diamond's, you know, walk a mile in their shoes found that they were not empowered.
Right.
And I think that's a testament to what you just said, Ray, is ask those that do it every day. That's how you're going to
get educated. Well, your experience speaks for itself. I mean, you worked long-term with Moody's. You went through the transition. You were 12 years on town council. Your leadership skills, people didn't re-elect you because they just happened to, you know, see the name Moody. They elected you because you stood for something. And I think that experience, that executive experience that you have of making decisions, that's the most important element we're lacking in all the leadership, most of the leadership we have here today. A guy like yourself, you get up there, you'll actually do something. You'll listen to the constituents. You'll do your job. And, you know, I mean, your background just speaks for itself. So I think you'll do fine. I think you've got to win this. If you win, Gorham wins, bottom line.
Well, thank you very much. And just one correction, 6 years in the town council. I don't want to
Oh, it was six.
But I remember this very clearly. And Chief Lefevre, Bob Lefevre, fantastic gentleman. And he was our fire chief.
Yeah.
And at the
time...
Yeah,
that's Kenny's brother, Kenny
yes,
Lefevre's brother.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And monies were tight. Like I said, this is in the late 80s, early 90s. Money was... And
87 Chief, Black Monday, yeah.
Well, Chief Lefevre came and thought that we should have a live-in program for the fire department. And he explained it. And when it came time to vote for it, I voted against it. Thank goodness there were other councilors on there at the time thought the vision was this could be a huge win-win. So I humbled myself to Chief and said, bad decision I made. I didn't vote for it. And the other side of it was, back then, is which I didn't know.
Wait, slow down.
Yes.
You went to the chief and told the chief that as a town councilor, you made a bad decision and you should have voted for it.
Correct.
Can you guys imagine that happening today? Somebody standing up and saying, they never
admit they're wrong. They'd be doing it every day.
Can you imagine an elected person doing that today?
We don't do it anywhere in our society.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. What's so funny about that?
That's extraordinary.
We have a Thanksgiving at Mr. Bagel. We serve 132 meals to folks, not sit down. Because of COVID, we deliver it. Well, Chief LaFeva, it helps us carve the turkeys. He's been doing it forever.
Forever, yeah.
And we always bring that up. I said, you know, Chief, 6 years town council, I made one bad decision. Mm. That was it. And he'll chuckle. And yes, we enjoy it.
But that's extraordinary that you actually did that, because I can't I can't think of an elected person in this country that would do that.
Well,
not one.
It was true. And what they do with that program now is amazing. They maintain equipment. They're right there at the thing. So when they do get a call, because again we have
your town's grown immensely. I mean, past decade. I mean, what's happened in Gorham.
So one of the best things that could ever happen, for sure. And I missed the call on that.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, look.
You probably made a decision based on the information you had, and then you realized afterwards that it wasn't the right decision. Credit to you for going to the chief and saying, I screwed up.
It takes more of a man to admit when he's wrong than to sit there and cover it up over and over and over.
Yeah, well, and again, I don't ever hear that, you know, in our government. If you look at the situations that have happened, in you talk about finger pointing, just like DHHS, right? And Jim Boyle's article in the Gorham Times, all finger pointing. You know, the governor finger pointing, I believe it was the sheriff at Sagadahoc County, basically, it was your fault, and of course he was running for, I guess,
Robert Card's fault. Let's tell the truth. It was Robert Card's fault.
But that's not exactly the way that it came out.
Yeah.
So, again, finger-pointing, and nobody can stay accountable for their actions, and it's always somebody else's fault.
Yeah. You think Janet Mills would ever admit how wrong she was for locking us down?
No.
You
guys watch The Voice by any chance? Any of you watch The Voice?
I haven't this year, but yeah, I've watched it in the past. Yeah.
So they have a feature. I don't know if it's new this year or not, but you know how they do The Voice. Have you ever seen it at all?
I watch the ads.
Yeah, and so, you know, so their backs are to the singer. They can't see him. They can just hear the voice.
Oh, that's sure. Yeah,
and then while the singer's singing, you have to turn around, and that way you get a chance. If you like him, you get a chance to be a coach. Well, I don't know if it's new this year or not, because I'd quit watching it for a while, but they have a new feature. They had one this year. And if you didn't press the buzzer, but afterwards you realized you should have, you can do it. And you can go choose that person. It is new this year.
Uh-huh.
So my only point here was, that's what we need in Augusta. We need a do-over. If we make a mistake, instead of just blustering about it, let's make a do-over here. Let's
maybe,
get a
maybe
do-over.
That's why there's 2,500 bills. We keep realizing we need do-overs.
To your point, truth to that.
How are you going to ask the question why on 2,500
you can't
bills?
Yeah,
some of them are just going to go right underneath the rug.
Well, of course, and you know what they do in Augusta, and this is something that, you know, you'll find out when you get there, is what they do is there's no way they can know all this stuff. There's too many bills. There's not enough time. It's ridiculous. So what they do is they find someone who's philosophically aligned with them, see how they vote, and then that's how they do the voting, because there's no way you can absorb that kind of information. The level of detail in some of these bills, I mean, I get these bills, and I go through them, and then I start calling lawyer friends because, you know, some of it's just so crazy, and they expect these people who are not lawyers, many of which are school teachers and lay people, to understand the language, and so then the lobbyists take over. It's a mess, but it's a system that we can break and rebuild, which is what we need to do, but so far what we've seen is they just want to keep perpetuating a system that is currently failing the people. So I'm glad you're going up there. We need people like you, people with strong character and moral background.
Well, I'd like to be a part of that process, right?
Yeah.
Because that's why I say, you know, things do have to change.
If people want to find out more, Thad, how do they do that? We got to run here, unfortunately.
Well, that's just it. I don't have a website. So they can call my home phone, 839-4516, or call my cell phone, 641-5330, and I'd be glad to chat.
How refreshing is that?
I love it.
How refreshing is that? Give those again in case somebody was listening.
Sure. Home phone is 839-4516. Cell phone is 641-5330.
Thad Moody, we wish you well. Hopefully you'll come back one more time before the election. We got 2 weeks.
I enjoyed my company very much. Thank you very
Absolutely.
Much.
We have got to run. It's 8:59.
I'm former State Representative Nathan Wadsworth, and it has been my privilege to serve the people of Southern Oxford County. In Augusta, I have worked towards fiscal responsibility by lowering our tax burden, protecting our outdoor heritage, and reforming welfare. I'm a family man with family values for working families and seniors. I appreciate your past support and hope my actions have earned your vote this November 5th. For more information, find me on Facebook. Paid for and authorized by Nate Wadsworth for State Rep, April Wadsworth Treasurer.
Hi, folks. My name is Scott Ducharme, and I'm running for Maine State Senate District 34 for Kennebunkport, Wells, Berwick, and North Berwick. I believe Mainers need economic relief now, and I'm ready to deliver. As a chief engineer in the United States Merchant Marines, a small business owner, father, and grandfather, I care deeply about our state. I'd be honored to earn your vote for early voting in October and November 5th. Paid for and authorized by Scott Ducharme for Maine State Senate.
Hello, fellow Mainers. I am Ron Russell, and I am running to be your representative for the United States Congress in Maine's 1st Congressional District. I spent 30 years in the United States Army as an Airborne Ranger, Green Beret, and I retired in 2006 as a colonel. After retirement, I started a small business with three friends, and we grew it into a large business over 15 years. I believe the job of a member of Congress is to be a representative of the people, listening to your concerns, informing you of what is happening in Washington, D.C., and meeting with you on a regular basis so that I can best understand your interests and concerns. My opponent...